ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 15 टेक्स्ट नंबर 66। यद्यस्य विना यद्यस्य वाणी सिद्धं स्याद् येन यत्रो यतो नृपः स तेन हेतकार्याणि नरो नान्यैरनापदि। यद्यस्य वाणी सिद्धं स्याद् येन यत्र यतो नृपः स तेन हेतकार्याणि नरो नान्येर अनापदि। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: in normal conditions, in the absence of danger, O King Yudhishthir, a man should perform his prescribed activities according to his status of life with the things, endeavors, process and living place that are not forbidden for him and not by any other means. Purport: this instruction is given for men in all statuses of life. Generally, society is divided into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras, Brahmacharis, Vanaprastha, Sannyasis and Grihasthas. Everyone must act according to his position and try to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for that will make one's life successful. This was instructed in Naimisharanya. Ata pumbir dujasreshtra varnashrama vibhagashah swanisthasthasya dharmasya samsiddhir haritoshanam. O best among the twice born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging his prescribed duties, dharma, according to caste divisions and orders of life, is to please Lord Hari. Bhagavatam 1.2.13. Everyone should act according to his occupational duties just to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then everyone will be happy. Translation once again. In normal conditions, in the absence of danger, O King Yudhishthir, a man should perform his prescribed activities according to his status of life and with things, endeavors, processes and living place that are not forbidden for him and not by any other means. So before I begin, I would like to seek blessings of all assembled senior devotees. Actually, I was told yesterday evening for the class, so I am not at all prepared. So whatever little bit here and there I have heard, I will just speak. Please forgive me for that. So in this series of instructions which Shripad Narad Muni is giving to Maharaj Yudhishthir, he comes to the point to explain that how, with whatever a person has, either he may be a king or he may be a pauper, whatever he has, whatever facilities are provided to him by his destiny or by his whatever has come up to him, ultimately all his endeavors, all the processes which he adopts in life and his living status, one should perform or one should lead a life in such a way that ultimately it is for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And that is what Prabhupada also explains, quoting first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that samsiddhir haritoshanam, that whatever we may do, ultimately it should please the Supreme Lord. If the Supreme Lord is pleased, then everything, whether it may not be seen, it may not appear in the materialistic eyes, from materialistic point of view, sometimes it may not appear that what we are doing is proper or it is not according to the proper codes, proper morality. But if you are convinced that whatever I am doing, whatever way life I am leading, that is going to please the Supreme Lord, and please our spiritual master, because that activity has to be done under the guidance of the spiritual master. If with this principle, if a person is convinced, then one can attain success in life. And therefore, this verse says, in the absence of danger, in normal conditions. So verse is speaking that in the absence of danger, one should utilize everything. Different things are given, that perform his prescribed duties according to his status of life. Second point is things, then endeavors, then the process which he uses that or utilizes, or and then the living place that are not forbidden for him or and not by any other means. So this is what Srimad Narad Muni is speaking, is when he is not in danger. Right? But it is not always, like as we know, material world is padam padam yat vipadam natesh. So one cannot expect to lead a life in a comfort zone. Sometimes you may be free from dangers, and sometimes you will be full of dangers. So for a devotee, for us, what do we understand by danger? So for a devotee, danger means when something is interfering, when something is becoming an obstacle in the path of his devotional service. Anything that interferes with his sadhana, anything which obstructs his advancement in Krishna consciousness, that is the biggest danger. Rest everything is secondary. Rest everything, however dangerous it may appear, it is all useless. We may have best of the things, and it may appear from materialistic point of view that we are very comfortable. But if that comfort zone does not help us in advancing in Krishna consciousness, then that is the biggest danger for a devotee. But from materialistic point of view, if we may be completely deprived of everything, we may lose everything. Whatever we had and whatever is we are going to get it, we may lose everything. But in that state, if we can feel ourselves that closeness to Krishna, then that is what is desired, and that is what every person should aspire for, and that is the most best of the things which a person can ever achieve in his life. That is the danger for a devotee. And therefore, a devotee should always, utilizing all these processes, all his endeavors, all the things, whatever he has at his disposal, should try to work out to become free from this dangerous situation in life. So we'll see two conditions, two situations in which a devotee, when he is comfortable, when there is no danger, then also is practicing his spiritual life. And when he's danger also, when he's put in dangerous situation, then also how he perfectly achieves the perfection of his life. So we'll see from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita two instances. And since yesterday was the divine disappearance of Srila Sanatana Goswami, so I'll just try to speak something. All these things are known to everyone, just I am trying to repeat it, and I may not be perfect in repeating that things also, whatever is all of you know and you have heard, but just for my purification I will repeat. So as all of us know, that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan, and he left also Jagannath Puri, accompanied by all his associates, hundreds and thousands and millions of devotees running behind him to reach Vrindavan. And here was Narasinghananda Brahmachari, who was contemplating, meditating, creating beautiful paths for Lord Chaitanya to go to Vrindavan. And but at one point, his meditation stops and he tells the devotees that Mahaprabhu is not going to proceed ahead. So devotees are confused, about where is he going to go? And then, as you know, that Mahaprabhu takes his turn to Ramkeli. And there he meets Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami, that time Dabir Khas and Sarkar Malik. And how, knowing the appearance or knowing the arrival of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Dabir Khas and Sarkar Malik, in the dead night they go to meet him, and there is a full detailed description given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, how they express their humility, their fallen state, and they take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu places his lotus feet on both of them and initiates them and accepts them as his disciple by giving them the name Rup and Sanatan to Dabir Khas and Sarkar Malik respectively, and also to Santosh also that time. So after receiving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, both of them, they go back to their palace, because both of them were finance minister and the prime minister in the kingdom of Nawab Hussain Shah. They had such a respectable position. So in one sense, for them to practice Krishna consciousness in that state was very easy. Because people generally, when you tell them that you should become more serious in devotional service rather than focusing much on your material life, the answer people give is, no, let me settle down in material life properly first. If I am properly settled in material life, then it will be very easy for me to practice spiritual life also. That is a normal conception which we feel, thinking that these material situations are going to help us to advance in Krishna consciousness. These material things are going to support our bhakti. But that is not the fact. It is bhakti which is only going to support our bhakti. No material thing is going to support our bhakti. So for Rupa and Sanatan, they had all the facilities. Everything was there at his disposal, But we'll see how there was no dangerous situation. They had received Mahaprabhu's mercy also. So how they practice using all their facilities, all their means and processes, endeavors to practice Krishna consciousness or to advance in Krishna consciousness. And after receiving or after meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they both of them come to their palace. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela chapter 19th. This is in two chapters, where Mahaprabhu is meeting first with Rupa Goswami, and then in the 20th chapter he is instructing Srila Sanatana Goswami. So Kaviraj Goswami begins his narration saying, Dui bhai vishaya tyagera upaya shrijila. The result of meeting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or what happens with us also when we come in association of devotees and we get initiated, when spiritual master accepts as his disciple, automatically for a sincere devotee, the desire for material sense gratification, enjoyment goes down. Or at least we make plans that how I can reduce my nonsensical activities. So the same thing happened with Rupa and Sanatana. Dui bhai vishaya tyagera upaya shrijila. Vishaya, to give up object of sense gratification, they started planning. And what was the process which they took to overcome or to give up the material sense gratification? Or for them, actually they were liberated souls, eternal liberated souls. For them, there is nothing as enjoying material things. But still, Bahudana diya duhi brahmane varila. They appointed two brahmanas by utilizing their wealth. So they had a lot of money at their disposal. So they appointed two brahmanas using all their wealth. For what? Krishna mantre koraila duhi puras charna achirata pabira chaitanya charana. So they engaged these two brahmanas in chanting of different mantras. What was the purpose for engaging these brahmanas in chanting mantras? Pura archana. Pura archana means, it is, Prabhupada translates, pura and archana. Pura means before, and archana means religious activities which a person performs before he gets initiated or before he achieves perfection of his life. So Prabhupada goes into detail. Prabhupada explains that it is a ritualistic ceremony performed under the guidance of an expert spiritual master or a brahmana. It is performed for the fulfillment of one's desires. Fulfillment of certain desires. So in the previous chapters, Prabhupada explains that what is purarchana for a devotee? Purarchana for a devotee is regularly attending morning program, chanting 16 rounds. So when a person does that, Prabhupada explains that the principles of Krishna consciousness, or get initiated in the Krishna consciousness movement. Prabhupada says, when a person chants 16 rounds for 6 months, attends morning program every day, Aarti, Prabhupada writes, Aarti every day for 6 months, then he becomes eligible to get initiated. And if he continues after that, again doing that for another 6 months, he becomes eligible to become a Brahman. He gets Brahman initiation. So all the sadhana bhakti, what we do, is actually purarchana. So that we can achieve the ultimate goal of life, that is going back, come back to God, and afterwards Krishna prema, in that same process. So Rupa and Sanatan also engaged in that purarchana. But what was their goal? So that they can get the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Rupa Gosai tabe naukate bhariya, apanara ghare aila bahudhana laya. So as they were engaging in this, constantly hearing this mantras, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, but out of the two, Rupa Goswami understood that now that we have received a mercy, now we cannot anymore or further continue with this service. So out of both of them, Rupa Goswami decided to leave. And therefore, he took all the wealth, whatever he had, and he left to his birthplace. And after that, Brahmana Vaishnava Dila Tare Ardha Dhane Eka Chauti Dhane Dila Kutumba Bharane. And what did he do with that wealth? Half of that he distributed among the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. 1/4 he gave it to his family members, and 1/4 he kept it for his emergency. So Prabhupada said that this is a practical example of how one should divide his money and retire from household life. Danda bandha lagi chauti sanchaya korila bhalo bhalo viprasthane sthapaya rakhila. So that 1/4 was kept for danda bhai, in case he is implicated in any legal implications, if he is put into involved in any legal implication, that 1/4 could be utilized for that, and that money he kept with one brahmana. Gaude rakhila mudra dasha hajare sanatana vyayakare rakhe mudi ghare. And not only that, he kept 10,000 dasha hazare, 10,000 gold coins he kept with one grocer. For whom? For Sri Sanatana Goswami. Because he knew that I have escaped from this, but I should arrange so that my elder brother Sanatana Goswami, he also is relieved from his entanglement, and he can also come close in achieving the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Rupa Shunila Prabhu Niladri Gaman Vanepatha Yabe Prabhu Sri Vrindavan. And knowing that Mahaprabhu is going to go to Sri Vrindavan Dham, he also left towards Vrindavan. Rupa Gosai Nila Chale Pathaila Duijan. And before that, he sent two people to Nilachal, to Jagannath Puri, to find out when is Mahaprabhu going to leave, so that both their meetings can coincide. Prabhu Yabe Vrindavan Kore Na Gaman. To know that when Mahaprabhu is going to leave Vrindavan. Shigra Asi Moratare Diba Samachar Shuniyata Da Anurupa Koribe Vyavahar. So that as soon as I come to know when Mahaprabhu is going to leave, I can also arrange my travel to Sri Vrindavan Dham. And that is, this is how Rupa Goswami, after knowing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left, he also leaves towards Vrindavan. So in this one case, we see that how out of the two, Rupa Goswami utilized his intelligence, his position, his wealth to get rid from the job, from the clutches of Nawab Hussain Shah. But this is what Rupa Goswami, the process which he adapted, it was very simple actually. It was not very much complicated. But if you see Sanatana Goswami, he is something, what he does is beyond, one cannot think. He's, or you may call in one sense transcendental. Because he is a transcendent personality, you cannot understand. So, when Rupa Goswami left to Vrindavan, he sent a letter to Sanatana Goswami. And what was that letter? That I have kept 10,000 gold coins with that grocer, and Mahaprabhu has left to Vrindavan. And I am also living for Vrindavan. And hearing this, even Sanatana Goswami felt that it's the high time now. Even I should also retire. But he was so much obliged to Nawab Hussain Shah that he could not leave the way Rupa Goswami left. Because Nawab Hussain Shah was completely dependent on Sanatana Goswami. We'll see in our narration. When he receives a letter from Rupa Goswami, he immediately, actually after that, what happened, that Sanatan Goswami stopped going to the office. He stopped going to his, not office, to his kingdom, to attend daily activities. And the king felt, what happened, why are you not coming? And he gave the excuse that I am sick. This is what our devotees do normally during yatra. When they want to go to yatra, when they don't get leave, so they say, I am sick. Or many times, so many of our relatives die that time. That is the season. Yatra time is the time when all our relatives die. And it's very easy also. Because when you go to yatra, many of us shave. So it becomes, you know, ek tir mein do nishan. When you shave your head, you will, yes, I'm in a dham mood. And when you come back, you say, I performed all my ritualistic activities, you know, for the departed soul. So people get convinced. So this is parampara, what our devotees do now. It was started by Sanatana Goswami 500 years back. So even though it may not appear moral, as an act of morality from materialistic point of view, still because it is in parampara, we can do it. It is fully authorized and legalized from spiritual point of view. So he says, I am sick. So even King Nabab Bhushansha feels, yes, he is sick. But then, what does Sanatana Goswami do? Is he really sick? He is not sick. He engages brahmanas and daily he spends time in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. He engages, he calls all the pandits and there is a discussion of Srimad Bhagavatam going on. Because he had, as you know, in Ramkeli, he had a big palace. He had constructed Nav Vrindavan. He had a big, like what you have, a lecture hall where all the big learned pandits, devotees, Vaishnavas could come and they could discuss Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sanatana Goswami was spending his time like that. Because he was very much interested. Now is the time. I have to move. So, but king, then he sent one of the doctor. He said, please, go check it out. What happened? You know, when you are not there for a long time, you cannot fool someone for a long time. So he sent some, you know, investigation is done. What happened? Just go interrogate into that matter. So the Vaidya goes, and he says, he's absolutely okay. There is no problem with him. And kings get very angry. He says, what is this? And he personally goes there. Personally goes to Sanatana Goswami. And not only alone, he goes with all his ministers. And then he goes there and says, Sanatana, and he sees Sanatana Goswami is not at all sick. He's relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the king gets angry. Like, what is going on? From so many days you are not coming and you're telling me that you are sick. But then now Sanatana Goswami understands that I cannot no longer fool the king. I cannot speak a lie. I have to tell him. Now everything has to be clear because after a certain stage, you have to be clear cut. So he says, I cannot continue. You cannot account for me for a longer time. So it was a big shock for the king because Nawab Bhushansha was completely dependent on Sanatana Goswami. Nawab Bhushansha had considered him like his brother, divided all his territory with Rupa and Sanatana. And king says that actually, my duty, I am like a plunderer. I am just going to conquer different countries. But it is you who are doing the actual management. I am creating, but you are the source of maintenance. And maintenance, as you know, is the most important thing. So how will things going to function? But then Sanatana Goswami says, you are a king. You can do whatever you want. But you can no longer account for me. And then he is put into jail. The king lives because he was about to conquer Odisha. And Sanatana goes, he says, come on Sanatana, come with me. So he says, no, you are going to conquer Nilachal, Odisha, which is the birthplace, which is the holy place for Lord Jagannath. I cannot come and be a part of that sin. I will not come with you. And then Nawab Bhushansha says, put him in jail. Why? So that he cannot run away. But when Sanatana Goswami is in jail, he receives the letter from Rupa Goswami. And then Sanatana Goswami also starts devising plans. Now this is the dangerous situation for Sanatana Goswami. Because once he is put in jail, now he cannot practice hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, neither he can meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Rupa Goswami is doing. So he has to do something. He has to utilize all his processes, all his endeavors, all his facilities, whatever he has, to achieve the ultimate perfection of his life. He cannot just stick to his occupational duties. He cannot no longer continue. One may say one should perform the occupational duties. But if that occupational duties is interfering or obstructing with his goal of life,
then he has to reject it, whatever people may think. And why? Why he has to reject it? Because previously, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on his South India tour, when he met Srila Ramananda Rai, so the first thing in their discussion between, when Mahaprabhu says, come on, speak something in relation or in a subject matter which will help one achieve the perfection of life. What does Ramananda Rai says? When one performs one occupational duties regularly, one can achieve the perfection of life. But Mahaprabhu says, Eho bhai, aage kawar. This is all external. Please speak something more. So even Mahaprabhu did not approve that just by performing one's occupational duties, one can achieve perfection. So Prabhupada, in the purport, makes one very beautiful point that one may think, why not? Why not occupational duties if it is mentioned that one can achieve through occupational duties, and because Ramananda Rai quotes Shastra also. Why one cannot achieve perfection? So Prabhupada says that because, why Mahaprabhu rejects it? Because although such process implies that one recognizes Krishna as the Supreme Person, it still involves one in activities on the material platform. It still involves a person or one in activities on the material platform. Since such activities are within the material universe, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered them external. So even performing occupational duties is on the material plane. Therefore, Mahaprabhu rejects that also. So when Mahaprabhu has already rejected it, so how can Rupa and Sanatan continue to be on that platform, that let me perform my occupational duties and at the end I may achieve perfection? No. He has to reject it. Because if you are serious about the subject matter, if you are serious in your goal, then whatever may come, you just have to, tick it off. And that is what Sanatan Goswami is doing. Now he's put in the most dangerous situation, put in the jail. Now how will come out? So he's using his divine plan. He calls the jail keeper. Because you are in the jail, and when a great person like Sanatana Goswami was properly guarded, so he calls the jail keeper, who was a Muslim fellow, and he says, Tumi eka jinda peer mahabhagyavan, ketabe korana shastre ache tomara gyan. Tumi ek jinda peer. Peer means very great person, a great saint, and that also jinda, not murda. You are a living great person. Normally you call a person very great after he leaves. Then you realize Bapri was so great. But here Sanatana Goswami is saying that Tumi ek jinda peer mahabhagyavan, and you are most fortunate. Kitab e Quran, and you are so learned in your kitab. And what is that kitab? Quran, because you are Muslim, so Sanatana Goswami has to speak. He cannot see, you are very learned Bhagavatam. He says, Kitab e Quran, Shastre Ache Tomar Gyan. You are well acquainted, you are fully well versed with all the knowledge of Quran. And then says, Eka Bandi Chhade Yadi Nija Dharma Dekhiya. Samsare hoite tare mukta karena gosaina. If one releases a conditioned soul, eka bandi chhade yadi nija dharma dekhiya. If one releases a conditioned soul or imprisoned person according to religious principles, he himself is also released from the material bondage of Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is spiritual blackmailing. So he's using, as I say, sam, dam, dandabed, whatever is required, one has to use. So the first stage is blackmail him. So he's telling, you are a great person, you are learned. And because you are learned, you should know that if you release a person according to religious principles, he's not telling that I'm going to bribe you initially. I'm going to bribe you. He says, according to religious principles, if you leave me, then along with that person who's being released, you'll also be relieved of the cycle of birth and death. He's convincing. And Prabhupada makes one very important point in this purport, which is essential for all devotees. Because normally, when you are a devotee who's always on the background, who's not on the forefront, nobody admires you, nobody glorifies you, so you're always on the safer side. But as soon as you come in front of people, what happens? And people glorify you, Prabhu, you are like this, Prabhu, you are that, you have done so, you have achieved so many things. Then what happens? The nature of everyone is to think that yes, really I am. So now Sanatana Goswami is flattering this jail keeper. Now Prabhupada says, this jail keeper was actually an ordinary educated person, and even he is saying, not very much advanced in spiritual knowledge. But just to satisfy him, Sanatana Goswami praised him as a very learned scholar of the scriptures. And then he says, Prabhupada says, the jail keeper could not deny that he was a learned scholar. This is what happens with every person who is not properly guided. When people glorify us, you really think, oh, you are really something great. And that mind convinces you to accept. You not only see one, if one day someone tells us something, say, theek hai. But if 10 people tells us something, wah, Prabhu, kya hai aap? Kya lecture dete aap? Kya prachar karte aap? Then you say, sahi mein, kya lecture deta hu main? Kya prachar karta hu main? Kitne sare log ka udhar kar raha hu main? Mind will convince you. And that is what the jail keeper was convinced of. So Prabhupada says, the jail keeper could not deny. And even if you try to deny also, your mind will not allow you to deny that fact. So here the jail keeper could not deny that he was a learned scholar. Because when one is elevated to an exalted position, one thinks oneself fit for that position. Very powerful statement. One thinks oneself fit for that position. That yes, I am that. And everything should go accordingly now to that position. Not knowing that this position is just temporary. I am fit for that. And when a person comes to this stage, that is the time when actually he starts going down. When you are convinced that you are fit for that position, and whatever you are getting it, it is what you really, what do they say? Deserve. What you deserve. When you think like that, then the process of slowing down gradually begins. And this is what happened with the jail keeper also. Because the jail keeper was supposed to be fixed in his service, unaffected by any temptation. For a devotee also, we should be fixed in our service, unaffected by any influences, what Maya or Maya in any form may present to us. We are supposed to continue with our service. Jail keeper was supposed to do that. However powerful Maya may be, even it may be Sanatana Goswami or it may be another, a common person, you cannot deny from your service, you cannot become loose in your service. But what happens? People start flattering you, raising you to exalted position, you are this. And what happens? You start getting elevated, puffed up, when the air goes in, air of the flutters, then you start getting blown up. But you have to know your capacity, you have to know your limitations. If you just start receiving those air and think, oh, let me become more and more big in size so that I may become more and more visible to people. A small balloon is not visible to people. But as the size increases, the balloon goes on increasing size and becomes more and more visible. If you go to Chopati, there are so many people who sell balloon. It's not visible. But you see many companies, they have their big advertisements. Big balloons. You go in any corner of Bombay, you see that big balloon. But only a matter of time. When the air pressure increases too much, if you are not strong, if the quality of that balloon is not good, if it is not properly made, it is only a matter of time that it will blast. And that what happened with the jail keeper. He blasted. So the different airs which Sanatana Goswami is pushing into this balloon of jail keeper. So the first stage is fluttering. So he said, Tumi Jinda Peer, he glorifies. And then Prabhupada explains two types of Maya, how Maya has two Shaktis, Avaranatmika Shakti and Prakshetatmika Shakti. Prakshetatmika is attacking. Even though the devotee desires to become free, Maya attacks you, impels you. And then the second is Avaranatmika. It covers you completely to make you feel, you know, just enjoy life. Sanatana Goswami, he says, he does not see anything change in that person. And then he says, Purve ami tomar kariya che upkar, That's the second stage. That previously I've done a lot of upkar on you. Now what you have to do? Tumi ama chhadi kare pratya upkar. By releasing me, you can do pratyupkar. You can also return my goodwill by releasing me. The second stage. And the third stage, he uses the final attack. 1, 2, and 3. Out. And what is that? He says, pancha sahastra mudra tumi karo angikar punya artha duilaba hoi be tomar. You know, ek tir mein again do nishan. You'll get punya also and earth also. Many people, especially, I should not say, then they become devotees, and especially saffron, what happens? Everything comes. Facilities comes, and name fame also comes. And many people in many places, the whole purpose of saffron is what? Bhakti to mile gai, you'll be recognized as a devotee, and at the same time, visa to America, and nice white skin also. Everything comes. So that same thing, Sadhana Goswami is telling. Pancha sahastra mudra tumi karo angi kara punya artha dui labha hoive tomaro. Thus you will profit in two ways simultaneously. You will gain material profit and get the results of pious activities also. Tabe sehi yavana kahe shuno mahashe. Now the effect has begun. Till now he did not speak, but when he saw the two results, then he started actually speaking. When a person starts speaking, then you should understand that whatever you know, तीर निशाने पे लग रहा है. And then he says, सुनो महाशय, तुम्हारा छाड़ी बे किंतु, I can leave you, तुम्हारा छाड़ी बे, but किंतु करे राज भय, I'm fearful, I can leave you, but I'm fearful of the kingdom, of the king. But then Sanatan, being expert diplomat, he says, सनातन को है तुम्ही ना करो राज भय, दक्षिण गिया छे यदि लौटी अवय ताहारे कहियो से भयकृत्य गेला गंगा र निकटे गंगा देखी जंप दिला. इंग्लिश, हाउ ओल्ड इज इंग्लिश लैंग्वेज? एट लीस्ट नॉट मोर देन 500 इयर्स. बट कविराज गोस्वामी यूजिंग द वर्ड जंपर एंड प्रॉपर ट्रांसलेटिंग जंप एज जंप्ड. सो इवन कविराज गोस्वामी वाज नोइंग इंग्लिश, ही इज टेलिंग जंप दिला. There is no danger. The Nawab has gone to the south. If he returns, tell him that Sanatan went to pass stool near the bank of Ganges, and that as soon as he saw the Ganges, he jumped in. So he's giving all ideas also. Anekha dekhaila tara lagana paila. Dadu ka sahita dubi kaha vahi gela. And then tell him that I looked for him, I searched for him here and there, but I could not find him, or I could not trace him. He jumped in with his shackles, and therefore he was drowned and washed away by the waves. So Sanatan Goswami is giving all the ideas for him. Kichu bhai nahi ami e deshe na rahibo. And I was telling, you don't have to be fearful of, because it's not that I'm going to be here and then king will say, hey, you said that he left, he drowned, but see, again he's there only. I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to be visible to the king or to any person of this whole province. He says, Kichu bhaya nahi, ami e desh na rahiba, daravesha hoya ami makkate yaiba. He's telling, I'll become a mendicant, and not that I'll go to Vrindavan, become a mendicant. He says, I'll go to Makkah, because he knows this fellow is interested in Makkah, not in Vrindavan. He says, I'm going to Makkah. So again, you know, gradually, step by step. And then he says, Tatapi yavana mane prasanna na dekhila. Sanatan Goswami is seeing that still he was not satisfied. Puri tarah se convinced nahi hua. Tatapi yavana mane prasanna na dekhila shat hazar mudra tare aage rashi koila. Well, theek hai, initially I, you know, gave the proposal of 5,000. Now I can give you 7,000 more gold coins. And then this was the final summit of that. Loba hoila yavanera mudra dekhiya ratre ganga para koila dhaduka katiya. Now 5 plus 7, 12,000 gold coins plus punya of, you know, I did some religious activity, pious activity of releasing a person to enable him to go to Makkah. And on top of that, so much glorification, zinda peer. So what is more required? Sab kuch hai. Full, complete package gift I'm getting. So why should I not accept it? So he did that. So when the meat eater saw the coins, he was attracted to them. He then agreed that night he cut Sanatan's shackles and let him cross Ganga. Gada dwara patta chhadila nare tahana yaite ratri dina chali aila pathara parvate. Then Sanatan Goswami's shackles were cut and he was released. And he jumped into the Ganga, not he jumped into the Ganga, he ran away from there into the forest. And walking day and night, he finally arrived at a hilly tract of land known as Patada. This was a place. And Yata eka bhaumika hoy tarathani gela parvata par kar ama vinati korila. Then he went to a bhaumika, a person who had a guest house, a lodge over there, and he requested that, my dear sir, please help me to cross over this dense forest, these mountains which are there, because I am a mendicant, I am desiring to go to Vrindavan, please help me. And that time, this person, this lodge owner, he had a palmist, he had one astrologer, and who could predict that this person who has come, even though externally it may appearing that, you know, he does not have anything, he has a lot of wealth. And the duty or the profession of this person was that whoever comes to his lodge, he would give them nice facilities to stay, make them more comfortable, and when they are sleeping at night, he would kill them and get all their wealth. There was a movie long back in which the same principle was like that. One Rajasthan movie, I don't know, maybe a documentary movie. One son from family, he goes to Bombay when he was a small child. Because they were very poor, and the child goes to earn money. And this mother and father of theirs, the profession was, whoever used to travel in their village, they used to give them nice accommodation, and at night, they used to kill them and take all their plunder, all their wealth. This was their way of getting money. And once, what happened, after 18 or 19 years, this boy returns back. And he goes to the house. He wanted to give them a surprise. But by the time he was completely changed, totally different. And these people, mother and father, give them, not recognizing their son, give them nice accommodation, everything. And what they do? At night they kill him, their own son. And actually this person, this boy was married. And then through letter, he was in connection with that girl. And early morning that girl comes to her in-law house to give them the surprise news that your son and my husband has come. And what they come to them, actually? They had killed. So such traditions, such movies are something I think based on such thing which people hear, which people 500 years also were adopting. So this was a profession of this lodge owner, innkeeper. And then the palmist said, Iharathani suvarnera astamora hoy. And he gave the exact figure also. How much wealth he has? Yes, astamor. He has 8 gold coins. Shuni anandita bahu sanata bhuna sanatana koi. He said, hearing this, the landlord was very pleased and spoke the following to Sanatana Goswami. Ratre parvata para karibe nijaloka diya bhojana karaho tumi randana kariya. That this night, today's night, you just sleep and I will help you to go out. Now you take your meals. Take rest and I will help you. I will send some men. And with the help of them, you can cross over this hilly tract. And then he says, Eta boli anna dila koriya samman. He gave them food to eat. And koriya samman, he worshipped them, nice, gave all respect to them. Sanatana asita be koila nadis nana. Then he went nadisnan, he went to river, took bath, became fresh. And dui upavase korila randana bhojane raja mantri sanatana vicharila mane. After taking the meals, the landlord actually gave him the grains to cook, that y'all can cook. All the facilities he gave. But Sanatana Goswami was a diplomat, he was a minister. He could understand. He could understand this ABCL principle. Ati Bhaktir Chorir Lakshan. So he understood why this person is so much, you know, giving so much respect, giving me all facilities and everything. He started doubting the character of this innkeeper. And then he says, Ei buna kena more sammana korila. Why this person is giving so much samman? Eta chinti sanatane ishana puchila. Because Sanatana Goswami was accompanied by Ishan, his servant. Then he asked Ishan, what? Tomara thai jane kichu dravya ache. That, my dear Ishan, do you have any dravya with you? Do you have any wealth with you? And that time Ishan says, Mora thani shatamo mohar hoy. That I have 7 gold coins with me. And then Sanatana says, Tumi shivni sanatana tare korila bachani, chastise him like anything. Why? Sanghe keno aniya che eto kalayama. He says, why have you brought this death knell with you? Because this, you may think that these gold coins are just 7 or 8 gold coins. But these are not just simple 7, 8 gold coins. This is death knell. This is going to be the cause of our death. Phasika phanda. And then he chastises him and he says that Eta shata suvarna mohar achila tomar ihaloye dharma deki parvata kore par. I have these 7 gold coins with me. Then he calls that actually. He calls that innkeeper and says, I have these 7 gold coins and please accept them. And from a religious point of view, please get me across the hilly tract of land. He calls that innkeeper and gives all these 7 gold coins. Raja bandi ami gada dwara yaite na pari punya hobe parvata atma deha parakari. I am a prisoner of the government and I cannot go along the way of the ramparts. It will be very pious of you to take this money and kindly get me across the hilly track. And then bhona hasi kahe ami janiya che pahile asta mohara hoye tomar sevaka achale. He said, then he also accepted, but I was knowing that you have this wealth and therefore I had made this plan actually to kill you to get that gold coins. So then Sanatana Goswami hands over those 7 gold coins to this person, and but still Sanatana Goswami knows, because once a person speaks a lie or does something wrong, it is very easy, very, very difficult to keep faith or trust in that person. So again he calls up, after that innkeeper goes away, again he calls up Ishan and says, Ishan, do you have any more gold coins? Do you have anything more? He says. Then Ishan says, Ishana kohe eka mohara ache avashesh, gosai kohe mohara loya yaho tumi desh. Now you take this gold coin and leave. Go back to your desh. And then this innkeeper is so pleased actually. His whole heart changes seeing this beautiful nature of Sanatana Goswami. Santushta haila, santushta hai ilani ami moharana loiba punya lagi parvata toma pare kar diba. He was not even ready to accept the gold coins. This is how a devotee is. He is attractive to everyone. So he says, I don't want these gold coins, but still I will, for the religious sake, I will help you to cross over. But then Sanatana Goswami says, if you don't take it, Gosai kahe kena dravya lobe ami mari amara prana rakshay kori dravya angi kori. He says, if you don't take it, then someone will else come, someone else will come and kill me for this coin. So better you take it. He gives it there. And in this way, Sanatana Goswami crosses that hill track and then he proceeds towards Vrindavan, and then he comes to that Mahaprabhu's Varanasi. He goes to Varanasi. So we see that how, even in this dangerous situation, most difficult situation where his spiritual life was completely checked, Sanatana Goswami uses, as Nāśrīpa Nārmuni says, processes his endeavors and whatever he has to achieve the perfection of life. And for Sanatana Goswami, the perfection of life was to receive the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the examples. Whether we are in properly comfortable situations or whether we are in dangerous, ultimately our whole goal of life, as Srila Prabhupada says in that purport, of Bhagavad Gita that Antakalecha Mam Evam Smaran Muktva Kalevaram. Purport to this, Prabhupada says that a devotee should mold his life in such a way that at the time of death, he does not remember anything else except Krishna. So we have to mold our life so that ultimately we can achieve our ultimate goal, that is going back home, back to Godhead. And this is how Srila Sanatana Goswami, through this small pastime, has depicted us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki.